This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
I want you to imagine something. This is not something make-believe. This is something that happened, and I want you to picture it. I want you to picture a Nazi in his late years, spent his life as a Nazi, doing Nazi things, some ugly things, dies as an old man, gets laid to rest at a funeral. Other Nazis there, lots of them. Nazis who idolize this man for what he did on behalf of that horrible cause. Nazis giving that stupid-looking one-armed Nazi salute as they lay him down. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. You see it in the movie when they do the Sieg Heil thing with the arm. What is it? Right arm, Chris, sticking out. Right arm, with the arm sticking out in the air. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Kind of a gross scene to think about, right? Honoring a Nazi that way. Other Nazis still around. Now, I want you to imagine Israeli Jews, Mossad agents, standing right beside the saluting Nazis at this funeral, not getting ready to kill the Nazis who were there, not surveilling anybody, bowing their heads in solemn respect for the man who's being buried and saluted by the other Nazis. Would you be curious about who that person is? That person's real. That person's name is Otto Skorzeny. He is... You know the movie, the show, I should say, the series Game of Thrones? Most of you haven't watched it, it's fine, but just know this. Part of the appeal of the show, for many people, is... It picks you up and it slams you down. It'll make you fall in love with the character. I read the books. I know I'm a dork. I read the books. It'll make you fall in love with the character. You'll find a hero, the man who does right on behalf of a good cause, loves his wife, loves his kids. Yeah, they're going to chop his head off. And then they'll find you another hero and you're like, dude, finally we have a good guy and he's going to triumph over evil. And then he gets his head smashed in. And part of the appeal of it is life is complicated. And unless you accept how things are, it can be a disappointment. And the truth is, so many of the people you admire are kind of garbage. And then there are people who you know you should hate, like this card-carrying Nazi I just described to you. And at the same time, they should be making movies about this dude. This dude, if James Bond, Jason Bourne, if all these guys were rolled up into one, this dude actually lived that life. He was born in Austria, not Germany, born in Austria, to a middle-class family, noble family, probably exactly like yours, nothing special. Raised a little differently and clearly a different dude early on, spoke two languages, and this is a period of time in Europe, many would say a better period of time, and don't you want this kind of thing for your kids, where they wanted their kids to be well-rounded. We want our kids to have some military prowess and knowledge, don't we? It's important, a little bit of fight in them, that's important. At the same time, you don't want to raise a bunch of Mongols who just go around killing everybody they see. You want your kids to be intelligent on some level, but not speak over everybody's head. Otto spoke two languages. Of course he did. Spoke German and French. Otto was huge. 6'4". Now, 6'4" is tall today. 6'4". And the 20s, 30s, and 40s is gigantic. The man was a giant. The man wanted to get into fencing, sword fighting. You know, you've seen fencing. And I swear the guy's life is laid out as if somebody is writing a movie. Because long before the Nazis, before World War II, before all the ugliness that's about to come, Otto has an accident while he's fencing. I say accident. I mean, the other guy was trying to cut his head off, and apparently Otto was not wearing the appropriate safety gear. So the other guy cuts a scar across his face, one you can see. I mean, you can Google image this guy if you want to picture this frightening individual. Slices him open from his ear, clear across his cheek, down to his jaw. Now, setting aside the fact this gave him the most typical nickname everybody gets called Scarface, it also made him even more terrifying. Now, what happens during this period of time, post-World War I, before World War II? You know what happens, a depression. And contrary to what many of us believe, this depression was not only a United States of America thing. this Great Depression was a worldwide thing. Europe felt this thing hard. Otto Scorsese, I know I'm going to call him Scorsese at some point. Otto Scorsese, his family feels it hard too. Now, here's where the story starts to get a little ugly, and the guy we can't really call a hero, right? Certainly the protagonist of our story today, but here's where it gets a little harder to root for him. He joins the Austrian Nazi Party. Now, why join the Austrian Nazi Party? Until I just said the words 5 seconds ago, you probably didn't even know there was such a thing as an Austrian Nazi Party. You thought it was only German. Well, allow me to explain. That Great Depression we were just talking about, when people are poor, when they've lost their jobs, when they are downtrodden, when they feel put upon by the world, people who are going through that are uniquely pliable when it comes to hearing a message of, you are strong. Not only are you strong, you deserve a job. Not only do you deserve a job, it's that guy's fault you don't have a job. Because what else do many people feel when they are poor and downtrodden? You feel anger, and you want to aim that anger at something. And if you can aim it at some Jews at a time in Europe where anti-Semitism was rampant all over the place, that's what you did. I am in no way trying to excuse joining the Nazi Party, but you and I had better understand this. In the pre-Holocaust time, which is where we are, we're not talking sending Jews to the gas chamber yet. In the pre-Holocaust time, dumping on Jews, blaming Jews for your problems was very, very common. It's common throughout history. And the Nazi Party at this time, while they were very open about disliking Jews, they were not open about, oh, we're going to kill 6 million of them. That was not part of the party platform. The party platform was, you are great, you are strong, screw the Jews. Otto signs up. And then it got real.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
You are vulnerable. I am vulnerable. It's just the way it is now when it comes to being online. It is, like it or not, and I hate it in some ways, it is an online world. Your home title, you would never think of it, would you? Your home title is not a physical piece of paper anymore. It's digital. It's online, and therefore, it's vulnerable. Very, very vulnerable. People are stealing them all the time now. And homeowners like you, you don't know when your home title's been stolen until you start getting late notices in the mail saying somebody took a loan out against it that you have to pay back. Go get HomeTitleLock.com right now. Don't let it happen to you. They will evict you from your home. HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code Jesse. That gets you 30 free days of protection. How much would your life change if you saved the president of the United States of America's life? How many people could even say they've ever done that? I mean, I'm sure there are a few, probably a few that you and I don't know about, right? But what if you were responsible for saving the president of the United States of America's life? That'd be freaking awesome, wouldn't it? I mean, look, let's be frank. That's probably even going above the wife on your tombstone one day. Jesse Kelly, saver of the president and husband and father. It's gonna be on the life resume towards the top. Yeah, Otto Scorzani did that, and most people don't even know about that part because it's a blip on the radar in his life. You see, remember when I said he was Austrian? This is a time of upheaval. The Nazi Party is rising. They seize power in Germany in 1933. This National Socialism is sweeping Europe. This Europe first, Germany first, I should say. We are the best. We are greatest. You will not dump on us. It's the Jews' fault. This kind of thinking is rising in Germany. It's rising in Austria, too. There are separate splinter groups of the Nazi Party. We like to look back at it now and look, oh, it's just one big party. Nope, like any other party that's rising, there were differences. There were clashes all the time of personality. This guy wants to lead. This guy wants to lead. He wants to do this. He wants to do that. We should murder this guy. No, we should talk to him instead. It's always, this is how life goes. This is how nations go. In Austria, it was no different. And Otto, by now, is a card-carrying, full-believing Nazi. And I cannot stress this enough throughout the story today. If you find yourself admiring this human being, and I will fully admit I have, as you read his story, you have to slap yourself back into reality sometimes. This is not some guy who unwittingly, oh, whoops, it's a Nazi armband. How'd that get on there? This guy believes and believes all the way. So you had better look at everything through that filter. Makes things more difficult. Again, life can be disappointing. He finds out a splinter cell of Nazis are going to kill the Austrian president. He goes and saves the man's life. Now, let's do a little bit of fast-forwarding here because it's only a three-hour show. I like to keep the history segments around an hour, give or take, and this human being could demand several shows. So we're going to skip to the part where he's now German military, and he wants to join the German Luftwaffe. What is the German Luftwaffe? All my fans will know by this point in time, those are the planes, the German Air Force. They were extremely admired, and we need to take a quick sidestep for this because we may have something like this coming for us in the future with all this new Space Force stuff, so pay attention. When there are new military technologies out there, a completely new way to fight something, nations will race to get good at it before the other guy, for understandable reasons, that's one. But two, young men, ambitious young men of that nation will flock to join it because it is the cool new thing. Air warfare, obviously it began in World War I, but man, not really. They were using those planes in World War I for recon. Yes, they eventually developed ways to drop smaller bombs from them. Some of the ones they dropped were handheld. I'm not joking. The pilot would fly above the target and hold out like a grenade and open it. I'm not kidding. The first casualty in World War I, or one of them, I believe it was the first casualty in air warfare, was a Russian pilot ramming another pilot in midair. I know you're going to find this shocking, but both of them died. Clearly not something he thought through. So air warfare kind of got started in World War I, but World War II, it was going to be the new thing and everybody knew it because these major developed nations spent every waking minute between World War I and World War II developing planes that go boom. Lots of them. Bomber planes, fighter planes, dive bombers, torpedo planes, investing large amounts of money. And if you're a young German, young Austrian, shoot, anybody, young American, young Brit, And all of a sudden, not only are people flying, which is still very new to you, they're flying planes that shoot machine guns. Yeah, can I go ahead and I want to be that. Whatever that guy's doing, how do I get in that? This is the way it is. And I'm not going to go off on a tangent here, but I hear people complain sometimes about military recruiters setting themselves up in high school, standing there, Marine Corps recruiting officer, maybe in his dress blues, girls swooning all over him, looking awfully cool to the young men in high school. And people will complain about that, saying it's manipulative. People, that is how you get the young men you want in the military. You look at somebody wearing that uniform, spit shine, standing up straight, strong. Yeah, I want to be that guy. How do I become that guy? It's a quick side note. Anyway, tries to join the Luftwaffe, gets rejected because he's humongous and he's too old. He's like 31 at this time. And again, he's 6'4". I don't know how many pilots you've met. They're shrimps. All of them are basically dwarfs. They are. Chris is 6 feet tall. He towers over basically every pilot I've ever met. So Otto gets the stiff. But the Germans realize immediately this is a very, very capable human being. Probably a bit of a vicious young man, too. A true Nazi believer. Let's bring him into the fold. And he gets brought in at first as one of Hitler's bodyguard. That's a big deal. Now, Otto, while he loves Adolf Hitler, we can't forget that. Happy to be Hitler's bodyguard. Otto is not a man at the outbreak of World War II who is going to be sitting outside of whatever the Nazi version of the Oval Office is, filing his nails as other men go fight a war. Some men are born to shoot other people, and that is Otto. Otto throws himself into it, and I know you're not going to find this surprising. Turns out he's really, really, really good. Like, really good. They're blown away by the capability, the leadership, the viciousness, the intelligence of this young military officer, and he works his way up through the ranks, eventually finds himself in 1941 as part of Operation Barbarossa. Now, Operation Barbarossa is the Nazi invasion of Russia. I do not have to elaborate for anybody in my audience how that worked out. The Nazi invasion of Russia by itself is the largest war in the history of mankind by a mile. By a mile. It's not even close. There are individual battles like Moscow and Stalingrad as part of that Nazi invasion of Russia. Those individual battles match the United States of America and the total casualties ever in all our wars combined. Hang on. Oh, I am glad to be back on a Monday, and guess how I got myself so excited to be back in the radio chair today. On the way to work today, hop in my truck, fired up, fresh off vacation. You would think I'd be bummed about coming back to work. Nope. Threw in my Raycon earbuds and jammed out to music the entire way to work. No. There's nothing wrong with my truck stereo system. It's working just fine, but it doesn't sound as good as my Raycon earbuds. And I don't have to worry about comfort. I hardly know they're in there. And the bass comes through, the voice comes through, and they cost like half as much as the other super high-end earbuds out there. Come on now. Go get yourself some Raycon earbuds. I told you already, my wife stole mine once. Go to buyraycon.com/Jesse. That's buyraycon.com/Jesse. That gets you 15% off. Otto Skorzeny heavily involved in Operation Barbarossa as the Nazis charge into Russia. Whoops! Turned out to not be a great idea, and during this mission, Otto is injured. Head injury. Bad one, apparently. No, he already had the scar on his face by that time. Gets injured by some shrapnel, sent back to Germany, and put behind a desk. Now, you may know some warriors in your life. I am proud to say I know quite a few. And they can be difficult to psychologize for the normal human being, because here's this dude who has risen up through the ranks in the Nazi army, widely admired already, gets thrown into the maw of one of the most vicious conflicts in the history of warfare, comes home, is very much alive and well, and they stash him behind a desk. He gets a desk job. Dude, you have wounds all over your body. You've saved a president's life. You've guarded the Fuhrer, which is something he wanted to do. You have served in the military honorably. You are good. And he gets a desk job, and Otto's all, this sucks. When do I get to kill people again? You know what? I'll think of new ways to kill people. And Otto begins to study unconventional warfare, special ops. And when I say study, I don't mean study like you and I. I'll read half a book. It's kind of boring. What's on Netflix? Otto throws himself into this and learns it all. Like all of it. And he, well, they decide this is the type of man who needs to head up his own special ops unit. They give him a special ops unit. They give him a special assignment. This assignment is to parachute into Iran. Parachute into Iran and use the local tribes, recruit the local tribes in Iran to disrupt the oil of the Allied powers. By now, most sane people realize Germany's going to lose the war. But you and I need to understand something at this point. This unconditional surrender mindset that we love about, you know, the leaders of World War II, Churchill, you know, FDR, Truman, all these guys. Nope, we're not negotiating with Nazis. You will surrender and throw yourself at our feet. It sounds cool. And it is cool. I mean, you don't want to negotiate with the Nazis. All right, you can just kill some Jews. And you can't negotiate with that. However, you should get that is not normal in the history of warfare. Some people did it. You know, a lot of the great conquerors did it, like Genghis Khan. But for much of the European warfare history prior to this, it was, okay, let's have a fight. Oh, we had a couple good fights. That was fun, wasn't it? Look, I won more, so okay, I'm going to take this part of the land, and I'm going to seize this port. All right, you can have it. You earned it. You made a good, jolly good time, Johnny. Thank you. Jolly good time. Hitler's hoping for something like that at this point. That is the goal of the Axis powers, even if Hitler's deluded enough to think he can still win. The Axis leaders know we're going to lose. We need to make a good enough show of it that the Allies say, okay, all right, look, we don't want to lose it anymore, guys, or stuff either. Let's come to an agreement. So that's why you throw yourself into Iran and you try to disrupt the oil there. Now, what's funny is the mission was a humongous failure, but still widely admired as being brilliant. And now comes the thing you've probably heard of before, you just didn't know Otto was responsible for it, the man named Mussolini. You've heard of Mussolini, obviously, the fascist dictator of Italy during World War II. Mussolini was extremely unpopular in his own country by this point in time. Now, we do need to take a moment and discuss that. One, fascist is a word thrown around by every illiterate college kid today. Do they call Republicans that or something? That's not what fascism is, you absolute utter morons. But fascism at this time, real fascism, was considered to be a possible form of government that was legitimate. It wasn't like Mussolini ran on, I'm not really a fascist. I mean, he ran on, yes, I'm a fascist. Fascism's great. Let's try fascism. We laugh at that today, but in Europe, they're still figuring out how to transition from being monarchies. Are we republics? What are we? They're still working it out. Mussolini ran at a time where, stop me if you've heard this before, Italy's economy was in the toilet. Italy was thought of as pretty weak, and Mussolini runs as, I'm the strong man. I'm the dude. Well, that works fine if you get into office and you actually are a strong man. Italy's military record post-ancient Rome is nothing short of embarrassing. It just is. Italy is everything we try to make France out to be and worse. And look, like we always say, that's no slight on the Italian people as much as I have fun making fun of Italians. It's all a matter of training and money. Italy's budget for their military in World War II, about $700 million. Germany's budget, World War II, around $700 billion. Italy got their butt kicked all over that war. All over the place. And they depose, Italy finds a way to depose, they arrest Mussolini. They're like, all right, you're not in power anymore. Well, this is a problem for Hitler. Why? It's not as if he had any great love for Mussolini. They hated each other. It's not as if he cared at all about Italy itself. But Hitler has a major issue. You see, when they arrest Mussolini, Hitler knows. He can see the writing on the wall. That means Italy's getting ready to be traitors to us. They're going to side with the Allies, and that is the death of Hitler's dreams of a Nazi regime, because Italy, while the Italian army may have been completely useless, Italy itself strategically, go pull up your map, look at a map of Europe, it was considered to be the soft underbelly to get into fortress Europe. Hitler had to have Italy as a stronghold. He had to keep it. And in fact, one of the most underreported parts of all of World War II was the vicious fighting in Italy. Not much of it by Italians, but the Germans moved down there, and there were some vicious battles in the mountains of Italy. So Hitler can't have Mussolini on ice. Hitler needs Mussolini back. Only you've got a problem. The Italians are not stupid. They're very much aware of the fact that Hitler needs Mussolini back, and they start moving him all over the place. They're bouncing him from prison to prison. It's a miracle they didn't just kill him.
Yep.
They start bouncing him around. Hitler looks at his special forces right-hand man, Otto Skorzeny, and says, find him. Go get him. Otto begins reconning. He begins all these intelligence networks. He was fanatical about that. Spies, undercover, all this stuff. Like I said, real-life James Bond stuff. And I don't just mean sending other people out there. Otto's flying spy planes himself, actually on the hunt for Mussolini. He crashed one of them in the Mediterranean and broke some ribs. This dude is hands-on, to put it mildly. They finally locate Mussolini on a mountaintop. And you can go view this mountaintop. You can image search it today. It's not much. There's not much there. But Otto has a plan. Hang on.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
Simply Safe has, well, simply changed the home security industry. They have. For so long, it was a pain in the rear end to get it. And it cost a fortune to get it. And therefore, so many people wouldn't get it. They just wouldn't even bother with it. SimpliSafe has changed all that. You go online, pick out what you want. They mail it to you. You open up the box, place the sensors, plug it in, and that's all. That's it. You're covered. No contracts. Let me repeat that part again. No contracts. No 2-3 year contracts like all the other companies. SimpliSafe is so confident in the service they provide and the price they give you, they don't need a contract. You're not going anywhere. I'm certainly not. Go to simplysafe.com/Jesse. That's simplysafe.com/Jesse. That gets you free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. Otto comes up with the plan to save Mussolini, who's being held by armed Italians on top of a mountain. In yet another part of this guy's life that could be made into a movie, he comes up with a plan to use gliders. For those unaware, a glider is essentially a plane without an engine. If that sounds weird, it is weird. They tow them behind a normal plane. You take off towing the glider behind you, and then you release it, and it slowly descends. Obviously, you can steer it, and you have to use, you know, obviously it'll stay up for a while, but it's falling on some level. Now, there's another part of that where in the mountains, you can get updrafts to where you can actually raise them up. I'm not going into all that, but understand, it's very cool. It's very cool. They land gliders on the mountain, and they land them so quickly that it took a total of 12 minutes and zero casualties, zero shooting, for them to land the gliders on and seize Mussolini. The Italians were so shocked at whoever these beasts were that just landed gliders on there, they essentially said, oh my word, we're done. All right, we're done. We're Italian here. I'll quit. We can make jokes, Chris. I'm not finished. Otto's still going, you see. He hasn't done enough in his life. For this, he was hailed as a national hero. Hitler gave him the Knight's Cross. That's essentially a German Medal of Honor, a Nazi Medal of Honor. I don't know if it's something that still exists. Legend. So Otto decides he's had enough of this life. He's going to retire and go kick back. No, I'm just joking. Otto decides he needs to be an even more committed Nazi. Hitler assigns him for internal protection. And here's what that means at this time. Remember when I told you Germany knows they're done? The Allies know Germany's done. Anyone with a brain inside of Germany's leadership knows they're done. And therefore, the assassination attempts on Hitler begin to increase a lot. The rebellion inside of Germany begins to increase a lot. The people are hungry. They're being bombed into Never Never Land. The Russians are invading. They know their country's about to be wiped out again. Lots of these people just saw it get wiped out in World War I. They want this Hitler guy gone so we can get a surrender and hopefully get some kind of a peace deal. Things are dangerous for Hitler. Otto makes sure it's not. He travels around Germany, putting down rebellions, stopping assassination attempts. Hitler also has an ally, Hungary. He finds out Hungary's getting ready to go over to the Allied side. He's trying to figure out a good way to stop them from doing that. Who does he call? Otto Skorzeny. Otto Skorzeny then designs a mission. They go into Hungary and kidnap the Hungarian leader's son and bring him back and hold him as ransom so Hungary will never leave. I'm still not finished. You've heard of the Battle of the Bulge, right? The Battle of the Bulge, for those who are unaware, is simply this. It was a last gasp by the Nazis. You see the Allies, just picture a line. You have the line of Allied forces closing in on the German forces on Germany. Germany decides they are going to throw everything into breaking through that line, which is a huge part of warfare, breaking through the other guy's lines. Then you can circle around behind, cause all kinds of havoc. But let's be real, real clear about something, because this gets twisted in history all the time. When it comes to the Battle of the Bulge, there was zero chance for this to actually succeed on a major scale. Because once you break through the lines, you still have to have the fuel, the ammo, the food, the resources to then circle around behind your enemy, hurt him, or continue on. You can keep pushing through towards some strategic spot that he's going to have to turn around and defend. Germany did not have that. They maybe had what it took to break through. They ended up not. But they didn't have anything left to break through and do anything with. They just did not. I mean, you could be a pain in the rear end for a while, but the writing's on the wall. Hitler wants to make sure this operation, though, is as successful as humanly possible. So he tells Otto to come up with a plan, and Otto comes up with something called Operation Grief. Operation Grief. And this is what it was. German troops would put on American uniforms. Specially trained German troops, and specially trained German troops in these American uniforms would speak English. And I cannot emphasize this enough. We're not talking about some heavily accented American English. These guys would have to have it drilled into them to speak American like you and I speak American. That is not easy. Otto pulls it off. Hang on. I pride myself on being a light packer. You know that, right? I'm a light packer. You know I'm a minimalist. Everybody who listens to the show knows that. Well, I had one extra thing I took along with me on this vacation this past week. My Ebb sleep. Why would I ever go without it? Why would I ever give it up? When you go from not sleeping to sleeping 7, 8, 9 hours every single night solidly, you don't ever give that up, ever. You can pry my Ebb sleep out of my cold, dead hands. It is your life changes, your work changes, your family life changes, and you can experience that. You can experience it too. It's not just for me. You can try it risk-free for 60 nights. Go to tryebb.com/Jesse. That's tryebb.com/Jesse. Enter the code Jesse at checkout for $25 off. What are these German troops supposed to do during Operation Grief? Well, they're supposed to try to make sure the Germans can hold the strategic bridges. And for the most part, it sounds crazy, but it matters a lot. They're supposed to just make life miserable for the Americans. Doing things like switching around street signs. That sounds small until you're the head of a regiment that goes 50 miles in the wrong direction. It's a big, big, big deal, and can be. And other stuff that you would think of, too, blowing up ammo supplies and things like that. But there's a problem if you're going to do that kind of thing. You're going to put on American uniforms, you're going to speak American. The problem is that's not legal. Now, I know what you're saying. Legal? What? You're talking about legal. It's warfare. They're bombing and lighting each other on fire. They're shooting each other. Well, I'll explain in a second.
Jesse Kelly returns next. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Now, when I say illegal, I mean illegal in the laws of warfare, and I know it doesn't make sense. I don't think it makes sense, but the truth is, you're allowed to drop, at least at this point in time, a gigantic napalm bomb on a bunch of troops and burn them alive, but you are not allowed to put on their uniforms and act like you're them. Otto did it. Otto grabbed supplies he wasn't allowed to grab. There were rumors, never confirmed, that Otto grabbed and tortured U.S. soldiers. This was a big deal. And understand, because this is a man very successful and knew what he was doing, this did make life extremely difficult for the Allies when he was doing it. It made it so difficult, they started to have to come up with their own ways of figuring out if the American soldier you're talking to is really an American soldier. There was distrust everywhere. These Germans looked and sounded like Americans, so they would ask them questions about baseball. Hey, when's the last time the Cubs won the series? I'm not making it up. Hey, who starred in this movie? Now, do you think that also caused some confusion? What do you do with the guy who doesn't watch baseball? Americans found themselves capturing other Americans, capturing other Allied guys, thinking they were Germans in disguise. At one point, the British field marshal, of course, big shot, used to having red carpet laid out for him everywhere he goes. Everybody's scrambling to, you know, iron their uniforms out when the guy makes an appearance somewhere. He tries to go through a checkpoint without showing his ID, gets detained and kept in a farm. This thing was a big deal. It made life a living hell. Well, they ended up losing the Battle of the Bulge. The Germans did, of course. They never did break through. The reason they call it the Battle of the Bulge is they created a big bulge in the line, but it never broke. Germany loses the war. Otto gets put on trial for impersonating American troops. Gets acquitted, but he is promptly put on trial for other wartime atrocities. Now we have to clarify, again, not only a card-carrying Nazi, but all indication is, although Otto denied it, trying to save his life at the time, I think, this is just a personal opinion, that he took part in Kristallnacht. That's called Night of the Broken Glass. Anybody familiar with what happened to the Jews on that night would know. Probably not a great human being that took part in that. And I think we all know, Otto, just from what you've learned about him in the last hour, this is not a man who saw Kristallnacht going on and thought, oh, it's too violent. We all know what he was doing that night, don't we? Just my opinion, but we all know. Now, I know you're going to find this shocking. Otto escapes from prison. Because of course he does. He escapes from prison. There is an intricate Nazi network post-war. People think too much has been made of this, or I've heard people say too much is made of that post-war Nazi stuff. That is insane. Post-war Nazism and the Nazi networks of escape and trying to start the Reich again and all that were extremely advanced. Very well funded. Many of these guys were very well organized. Otto finds himself as the head of an export-import business in Spain. And guess what one of his exports was? Nazis. Maybe you've heard of Adolf Eichmann. Adolf Eichmann, one of the architects of the Final Solution, a disgusting human being. The Israelis eventually captured him in Argentina, I believe. I know it was South America. Brought him back, put him on trial, and yeah, he was swinging from the gallows. Guess who got him to South America? Otto. The man was a true believer all the way. Now, here's where we're nearing the end of our story for the day. And I'm skipping over other parts of this man's life, if you can believe it. Otto's in Egypt. Well, this is about to get interesting, isn't it? Because Israel, the new nation of Israel at this time, remember, Israel by now is brand new again. It's not new, but it is new. You understand what I'm saying? All right. They're brand new, and they are struggling to find their footing. They're trying to figure out how they want to handle intelligence, how they want to handle the military, what they're going to do about all these Arab nations surrounding them, Egypt, Jordan, so on and so forth, who want them dead. And really, really want them dead. The world is kind of in a tough spot at this time when it comes to Israel. You see, Israel, look, I'm a little bit of an Israel homer, so I'm going to defend a couple things here, but understand this, and this is a fact. I don't care if it makes you mad. Again, this is not your mommy's show. This is my show. Israel did a lot of really ugly things to make sure they were going to become Israel. A lot of bombings. Now, we're not talking indiscriminate, you know, just go in a movie theater and blow up a bunch of kids type stuff. But, oh, there were plenty of civilians that died in the Israeli break off from everyone else. And that made people really uncomfortable. They were trying to break off from Britain. However, this is still post-World War II. And as you may imagine, there's quite a bit of sympathy for Jews at this point in time, as the world is still recoiling in horror at what happened to them during World War II. So it's very complicated. Israel has to figure out, though, how to protect themselves. People have sympathy, but you're kind of using some heavy-handed stuff, maybe not too much. You're Israel, you know you've got to protect yourself. And here's Israel's situation. They have an Egypt problem. And one of the main reasons they have an Egypt problem is the Egyptian rockets, the Egyptian missiles. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, I don't understand. It's Egypt. They're not that technologically advanced. How does Egypt have a bunch of sweet missiles? Because of the Germans. Doing a quick rewind here. Science. I'm talking real science, not climate change. Real science, engineering was something the Germans, Hitler and all the Germans really took extremely seriously and still do. It's just that it's one of those countries, math, engineering, that kind of thing. The German military took it very seriously, and they took some of the most brilliant minds in the country, and they gave them really nice lives if you would go ahead and start developing rockets for us. You've heard of the V-2, probably, a long-range missile or rocket, however you want to put it. I realize there's a difference, but a long-range thing that got shot from Germany into London. Yeah, there were some really advanced scientists that worked on that. And once Germany fell, those really advanced scientists, well, it's hard to go home and tell the wife, hey, honey, guess what? We got to move out of the mansion. Time to move into a shanty. It gets a lot harder to tell that to the wife when you have another offer on the table that looks really nice. Hang on.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
My Raycon earbuds are a lot of things. For one, they were affordable, and that is not a small thing anymore, especially with this job market. It's not a small thing to be affordable. They cost like half of what the other high-end earbuds cost. So I like that. I like that you can pair them extremely easily to the Bluetooth. It took me less than 10 seconds. When I open up the box, turn them on, boom, they pair. That's nice. I like that you can control them in your ear. More than just fast forward and rewind. It's volume up, volume down, pause, play. It's nice. But I really need them to be comfortable. None of the rest of that stuff would matter if they weren't comfortable. And they are so comfortable in my ear. Go experience what I have with these Raycon earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/Jesse. That's buyraycon.com/Jesse. That gets you 15% off the price that was already outstanding. Buyraycon.com/Jesse. You see, those German scientists, they wanted to maintain a standard of living. They were for sale now. Egypt, very, very interested in making sure this new country of Israel was gone. Egypt was willing to pay the price. So they brought in all these Nazi scientists and gave them, by all accounts, really, really nice lives. We're talking mansions, servants, whatever you want. Yes, yes, just come down, whatever you want, as long as you start building long-range missiles for us now. Now, this is not abnormal. This is what was done, and let's be frank. These scientists, while many of them may not be Nazis, these scientists were working on behalf of an extremely evil regime, but they were really, really good at their jobs, probably without question, to be honest. The best in the world. The best in the world. You're Israel. You have to find a way to stop this. You cannot allow German scientists to give Egypt the necessary technology to launch missiles into your country. Your country's not big enough. It'll cease to exist. Israel starts doing some mail bombing. That starts going wrong, as you can imagine. Bombing is such a messy thing. Innocent people start getting killed. They actually killed, I believe it was the mistress of one of the guys they were trying to go after. So you have to come up with a solution. And somebody in Israel comes up with a solution. They say, this guy, Otto Skorzeny, a guy we want dead but haven't been able to kill yet, he's in Egypt. He will know who these scientists are, and probably more importantly, these scientists will know who he is. This is a man Joseph Goebbels labeled the most dangerous man in Europe. He was known worldwide as that. This Otto guy was no joke in his day, obviously, as you've heard. So Israel comes up with a plan. Approach this guy, offer him some cash, and offer him something else that Otto would value at this time. Offer to have Otto's name removed off of the kill lists. Now this is about to get a little complicated, so I'm going to simplify it for you. It's no secret Israel was hunting down Nazis post-World War II. They were hunting them down sometimes to arrest them because they wanted legitimacy. Others did not get arrested. However, when I say Israel, that's going to get a little complicated because, yes, the Israeli government was hunting them down. But other wealthy, powerful Jews around the world were hunting them down just to murder them. When 6 million of your own people are gassed and then incinerated, that is going to create a level of bitterness and anger that is frankly impossible to detain. What I'm telling you is going after Nazis went way beyond just the new country of Israel. There were private, wealthy men of means who wanted Nazis dead. One of them was a European. Otto, he does meet with the Israelis. It's kind of a fun side story, although it's a little risque, so I'm going to make this as PG as possible. Otto and his wife, their marriage was not the strictest marriage in the world. Just do your own thing. I do my own thing, apparently. Mossad actually got to Otto because a Mossad agent was very friendly with Miss Scorzani. What, Chris? I don't have a better way to put it than that. All right, they were friendly. All right, Otto sits down with Mossad. And as you can imagine, this is a man still frightening, still very capable, and very frank. He knew what this was. He knew what they were. They meet, and he says, all right, I want money. I want this. I want that. I want my name taken off all the kill lists. He was taken off of Israel's capture or kill list. However, there was one guy in Europe approached by Israel. They asked him to take Otto's name off. And remember when I said Otto took part in a lot of ugly things? This guy refused, said absolutely not. But that's another story. Israel recruits Otto successfully to stop these German scientists in Egypt, to dissuade them, if you will. Now, Otto Scorzani comes and knocks on your door tonight, and you opened it up. Have you Google imaged a picture of the man yet? If you haven't, you should. Picture that man hulking at 6'4", answers your door, and you didn't know anything about him, you would be intimidated. If you knew the story I just told you about him and you opened up the door, you would probably start sweating. If you knew what I just told you about him and you opened up the door and he threatened you and your family with their lives, you would probably soil yourself. Well, Otto took it a step further. Not only did he start letting these scientists know they were to stop, one of these scientists got picked up by Otto one day after work, and he never came home again. Now, back to the beginning of our story. We'll never know the extent of everything this man did. We'll never know the extent of everything he did for Mossad. We just, Israel's too secretive. It's just that's a whole secretive world. But now, can you picture that scene? Because, of course, Otto, later on in life, gets cancer on his spine, has surgery, is paralyzed, told he'll never walk again. Otto says, go screw yourself. He's walking again within 6 months. Then in 1975, gets lung cancer and dies, has a funeral in Madrid with card-carrying, still-open Nazis giving the Nazi salute right next to men from Mossad with their heads bowed in respect. Is that not one of the wildest scenes you can possibly imagine? And that really happened. Let me ask you something. And it's something I'm not sure I know the answer to. What's your assessment of his life? I don't want you to vocalize it. You don't even have to put it in an email, although you're welcome to. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You're welcome to call 877-377-4373. 877-377-4373. Would you rather have a resume like that on behalf of an evil cause? Or would you rather be fighting for a good cause, but do nothing? Maybe some lip service to it. I'm looking here at a headline from Lindsey Graham. Memo shows FBI lied to Senate about dossier source. But what has Lindsey Graham actually done about this besides yell on TV? Nothing. So it's a question you can only answer privately, especially when we discuss, you know, historical people like Nazis. Would you rather have a life of incredible accomplishment on behalf of an evil cause or a life of no accomplishment on behalf of a good one? Hang on.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What, look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these farrier drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps. And then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Gets you 10% off.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.